That last hymn we were just singing is a lovely devotional song, and to sing and pray at the same time. Thus with quickened footsteps we'll pursue our way, watching for the dawning of eternal day. Jesus, stand among us in thy risen power, and let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. You know, we worship not only when we open our song books to sing or our chorus sheets to sing. We don't only worship then. We worship now. Now as we're still before His Word. You are in the mode of worship as the Word is opened. And you are receiving the Word of the Lord to your own heart. This is so important for us to realize that every part of our service, every part of our serving of God is to be for the worship of His holy name. Now we're reading some verses from chapter 5 of Galatians. We're going to start our reading at verse 14. The opening, the verses of this chapter, the apostle is encouraging the Galatians to stand fast or stand firm in the liberty where they are standing in Jesus Christ. They are to stand without apology. They are to stand without compromise. Well, they're to stand without confusion of other doctrines which would come and try to beat against their lives. That's exactly what was happening in the Galatian church. And so as the apostle had to deal with these issues that were attacking the very heart of the gospel, trying to teach that a man is justified in some other way other than simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and on what He has done on the cross for us. And so, as we pick up this reading here in Galatians 5, and keep that in mind as we're reading verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. It seems that as things had deteriorated in the Galatian church, it meant that there was a growing friction among the people of God. And they were resulting in them biting and devouring. It meant that there was a lot of infighting or disagreement that had arisen. And the apostle is saying, let's put right what is needful to be put right. Let's get the doctrinal issue settled. And be sure to call clearly what is not of God, not of the Lord. What is another gospel, another gospel. But now when we get these matters settled, let us come together with an open heart and not bite and devour to undermine the whole stability of the Lord's work. And so he says to them, the whole law. If you want to keep the law of God, I'm going to tell you how that is. The whole law is fulfilled in this, that we are to love one another. That is the word that came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is the background or the backdrop of the words and the message that I want to speak to you today about. And it's taken from verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's be still now, please, just for a moment's prayer. Our Father, come now, we pray, and settle our minds, and take away from us strange thoughts. Let us be still and open in our hearts in worship toward Thee. Open, O God, with an acceptance of the word of the Lord. Open and saying, Lord, I need today a word to my own heart, and I pray that there will be nothing to hinder that word from coming into my soul and being mixed with faith so that I may apply it in my everyday walk. Dear Lord, forgive me, I pray, for all my sin. Cleanse me from every iniquity. Take away every foreign and strange thing. And, O God, I pray that I may be a vessel sanctified and meet for the Master's use, ready and clean. O God, hear this prayer today. I need the power of God to speak the word, and everyone listening needs Thy Spirit to take the word in the heart and to apply it to life. So hear our prayers, Father. Let us not be a congregation that is given over to biting and devouring. May we, O God, be known and marked as a people, the love of Christ, and desire to honor the word of God. Keep us from going astray, Lord, in any area of false teaching. Keep us from going astray in any area of compromise of the Word of God or of the principles of the Word of God. Hear us now, Lord, today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Walking in the Holy Spirit. That's the message I want to leave with you today. Walking in the Holy Spirit is living in obedience to God's Word and enjoying communion with Him on a moment-by-moment basis. The Old Testament prophet said that you cannot walk together with someone unless you are agreed with them. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? And the point here is that that type of walking or communication, communion, is one where you have a close affinity with the person you are walking with. That doesn't mean that, of course, you don't walk down the street with someone. You might not be in 100% agreement with them. It doesn't mean you'll be rude to them. You're not going to be unkind or unfriendly to them. But the import here is that you are walking in link, in unity. And you cannot walk in unity with someone unless you have harmony and agreed. We are to walk in a sense with God, having the highest sense of bonding with the Holy Spirit. It is for this reason that we are to repent of our sin when we have come to faith in Jesus Christ and to walk in a way that is going to be pleasing to Him, having our lives emptied of sin, having those things confessed, and a desire to go on. It means our whole being surrendered to the Father who reveals and maintains the life of Christ in us. Therefore, I want to look today at this very gracious command in Galatians 5 and verse 16 and pray its truth into our souls. We may live above the world and all of its temptations and know the joy of a life that is lived in a constant communion with God. Please notice, first of all, that this is not an option. It is a command. It's not an option. It is a command. We read also from Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This removal of condemnation upon the child of God is as a result of the justifying work that Jesus did on the cross, whereby we are seen in the eyes of our Holy Father in heaven as clean and without sin. And that will be evidenced in our day-to-day walk, in our communication with other people, by how we live. Because no one can see into the heart of another person. Only God knows exactly what has transpired in the soul, if you are truly a believer. There are times, we have to be quite honest, when people will say, yes, I am a Christian, I am a believer, but the life lived is not accurate. The life lived is saying a different message from the words that are spoken. So there is a big problem there. But you and I cannot see on the inside. So this verse of Scripture in Romans 8 and 1, where it declares there is no condemnation, as God looks upon a person, He knows, He sees if that heart has been opened to Him, if that heart has been cleansed of sin, if that heart is judiciously cleared of all condemnation. God sees that. But how do you and I interpret such a thing? Well, it is going to be evidenced by the way we live our life, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we walk. And the Lord tells us here that we are to walk in the Spirit. Here is something that is a very gracious command that the Lord has blessed us with. Now, we walk after the Spirit, and it is through the Comforter that we will know that daily presence of the Lord with us. When the Spirit of God came to abide in the heart of the child of God when we were converted, He is there not just as a visitor, but He is a resident. He is there in our lives, in our spirits. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, bears witness with God's Spirit that we are genuinely, we are truly the child of God. The disciples, when they walked upon earth, they had fellowship with Jesus. They walked with Him. They touched His body. They knew what it was to hear Him pray. They saw Him as He walked upon the water. They saw and beheld the miracles that He did. But I will tell you this, according to the Scripture, their communion with Christ was only a shadow of what it is that you and I can experience of Jesus Christ. How could we make such a statement? Because the Spirit of God, the Comforter that came into our lives after the Lord Jesus rose and ascended to heaven, and He sent the Holy Spirit to us, He sent it Him so that He would witness with our spirit and witness in the Scripture that we will know more of the mind of Christ. We will know more of the heart of Christ. We will know more of His communion and fellowship with us. Sadly, though, many of us as Christians do not walk in the realization of the Holy Spirit in an unbroken fellowship and in a consistency. And we have to ask the question this morning, Why is this? Why is it that we seem to be void of this communion with God? The command is there, walk in the Spirit. But many of us don't fulfill that on a day-to-day basis. And why is it? Well, the answer may be in this way. Perhaps we are content to follow the Lord Jesus afar off. Maybe we are content to have just so much of the Lord in our life, but not too much. We don't want to become seen as radical. We don't want to be a fanatic religiously. So we have enough religion, sometimes just enough to make us miserable. But we have enough of it to say, yes, I am saved, but I don't want to really go the whole way in knowing the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're a bit like Peter. When he watched the Savior from a distance, he was very afraid that time as the Lord was taken into trial, and he was afraid to be identified with Christ. And so he just kind of mingled with the crowd, and he moved so he could see the Lord, and then he was noticed. But sadly, when Peter was noticed, he went even further to deny his association, his knowledge of Christ. You know, sometimes you and I can do that imperceptibly in our own life. Walking, going about our daily activity. I wonder if someone would make the mistake of ever knowing that you were a Christian. Would you be found guilty of being a Christian by your association? Ah, friend, let us beware that we do not follow the Lord afar off in our life. Maybe also we find ourselves too busy with our own things to think upon God. We have the responsibilities of life, and they are great. We have many things that press upon us day by day and moment by moment. But sometimes we can be so busy that we schedule the Lord right out of our life. And we find we're not walking in the Spirit of the Lord. If we have no desire to walk in the Spirit, it is because there is no reality of Jesus Christ in your life. And friend, this should cause great alarm. This should cause everyone who names the name of Christ, everyone that says, yes, I am a follower of the Lord, if there is a void or a vacancy of this desire inside us to say, I want to walk with the Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit of God. If that's not in you, friend, ask some very serious questions. Because there's a big problem in our lives if that's the case. For if we do not walk with God, there will be no fruit in our lives. And if God should take us home, what treasure then will we have deposited in heaven? Be sure, friends, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will come to a point and we will stand before the Lord and give answer for what we have done with the life that we have had on this earth. Don't think that I can just spend and do and entertain myself and do whatever I want without coming to a day of accounting, a day of reckoning. We must stand to give account for our life work. And when God's fire is applied to our life, all that is not eternal, all that is not lasting, friend, it will be burned up. When the fire of God is applied to our lives, what are we going to have left? Is there going to be any gold, silver, and precious stone, that which the Lord uses to represent valuable treasure in heaven for you? Is that what we're going to have? Or is all the rest going to be burned up and nothing but just ashes left of those things in our life? These are important questions. Because the commandment here that the apostle gives is that we are to walk in the Spirit. It is not an option for us in our life. Therefore, if we find that there is a distance from that, Let's ask the question, Lord, why? And Lord, please fix this in my heart, because I find it difficult. I cannot do this myself. I need the grace of the Lord and the power and the help of God. We have to say, like the hymn writer did, our service for God has been barren and dry, and barren it shall remain until we are blessed with that fire from on high and the sound of abundance of rain. Why? I need in my life to be filled with the Spirit of God. And believer, you need exactly the same thing every single day. Need to have the evidence of God working in us that we might walk with Him. Because walking with God is a precursor to being filled with His Spirit in power for service. We must be vessels that are prepared. We have to be clean and ready, just like the glass. We have to be in the right posture, not upside down, not lying down, but upright, ready to receive that infilling of the Lord's power in our life. But if we are either filled with ourselves or filled with sin, which is really both one and the same thing, there's no room for the Lord. And what room there is, it will be contaminated. We must be thoroughly cleansed and thoroughly emptied. If we are going to know God's best in our own lives, we must heed this command and know the certainty of it, and it's not just an option for us in our life. So think about that command. But let's move on secondly, because this command, when it is obeyed, when it is practiced in the Christian life, it will produce something. It will give to us protection against sinning. Protection against sinning. The second half of the verse says this quite strictly. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This word exhorts us in the light of the peril of fulfilling the lust of the flesh. There is no term, I suggest to you, that is more suited to describe the natural man, who we are, the depraved heart, than this word lust, the fulfilling of the lust of the flesh. It affects every single one, man, woman, young person, it doesn't matter. If you are a human being, then you are affected by this word. Now think about that. You have to see it in the context of your life, the lust of the flesh. The word lust, it means to set the heart passionately upon or to burn with desire. To burn in our lust is to desire something that is against the will and the way and the Word of God in our lives. Now, when we look at this word, it can be used in a positive way. But when we examine it in the Scripture, the great percentage of times it is used, it is always connected in a negative way. So to have a heart desire, to have a passion inside us, is something to lust after, and it's in the bad sense. To burn in our desire is to desire it to such a degree that we are prepared to have everything else consumed around that we might have the longing in our own hearts. We still have the old nature, and it will accompany us until our dying day. And Satan will never give up trying to subvert our minds. He'll never give up trying to bend our will. He is relentless, and he knows that when a Christian falls in sin, his testimony is marred, it's damaged. His spirit is injured, and his service to Christ is stopped. Those three things, let us never forget. When we fall into sin, our testimony is going to be hurt. And we're going to cause a great deal of damage, not only to ourselves because we injure our spirit, but I'm thinking about the testimony to other people around us. It is a great fall, friend. The old nursery rhyme of Humpty Dumpty who sat on the wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. The problem is that when we sin against the Lord, when our testimony falls, we do great damage to ourselves. And the injury we have is going to be multiplied to others around us. And will our testimony ever be the same again? Well, the Lord is able to forgive us. We know that. The sad fact of the reality is that the world doesn't forget. And we have to deal with the consequences of our sin. And this is a very great problem. That's why Satan tries to undermine you continually. He tries to undermine us in our day-to-day work. He tries to undermine us in our relationships at home. He tries to undermine us by the things we see and the things we hear. And all the time he's trying to evoke the burning passions of lust inside us. And how is it possible for us who are human beings, who feel this great problem, how can we stand against this flood? This wave that's coming over, it's like a tsunami. How possibly can we survive it? With men, it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Though Satan has a plan, and he desires to overturn us, why, friend, the defeat of the devil is certain. But his powerful currents of lust are damaging to us. Some years ago, I was canoeing on a place called Burnt River, which is up in the Kawartha region. And we were canoeing down this river, and we thought we would be able to shoot the rapids, or run them, as they say. But the canoe got lodged on a rock very near the top of the rapids. And the current was pulling us, was strong underneath the canoe. And as it got lodged on a rock, the canoe turned sideways. And it began to tip. And as soon, I tell you, as soon as the water caught the lip of the canoe, it just flipped it over like that immediately. It was full of water in an instant. And all the supplies that we had in the canoe were carried unceremoniously downriver. And great was the loss. Supplies, tools, things of value, camera, gone in a moment. Because, friends, once the current of that river got its control over us, there was nothing that we could do to stop and save the canoe or the supplies. And that's exactly what happens to us when lust gets a hold of the heart of a man. Once we have gone past the point of resisting the temptation, and once lust begins to burn inside the heart, friend, you are in a strong current, and it's pulling you, and you will not swim against it. You are in serious danger. The Lord tells us that there is a remedy to this. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Friends, the Lord has spoken this statement, and it is decisive for us, because He knows the makeup of a man better than any. And He knows that when we are taking our steps in communion with the Holy Spirit, then we are going to be resistant to the temptations of the evil one. And we will have the power of God. He has promised to us in His Word the power to resist the devil, that he will flee from us. The power not to get into that swift current of the lust of the flesh. You know, it does not say that we will not be tempted with the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say that. Because as long as we're on earth, we will be tempted. Be sure of that. But it does say that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So those passions that really define us as being human beings, they're part of us. And we need to know how, by the Lord's grace, to be victorious against them. And we can, and the Lord's Word tells us that we can, by communion. Here's the antidote. The antidote for us to walk with God in that personal communion. But friends, it's also seen here as the antidote for strife among Christians. For in verse 15, Paul says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Because you see, the lust of the flesh, it affects ourselves, that's true, but it also affects other people. And if we give in to our old carnal nature, it's going to be seen in our relations one to another, and there will be the bitterness, the wrangling, the biting, the devouring. And he said, if you're going to do that, then don't be surprised if you're consumed one of another. If you're taken up with this spirit, then beware, friend, that it not only does damage to others around you, it will destroy you as well. Be warned. Here the context is of the bitter disputes that had arisen in the church, and there were doctrinal problems, that's right. But when all those things got dealt with, there were still lingering issues. And we have to be very careful, because though the controversy was a very heated one, and it affected the very doctrine of the gospel, there Paul argued that you have liberty now in Christ. Look at that liberty very carefully. Look and see where you are standing in Christ. You are not under condemnation. You've been given freedom to now walk in the Spirit. You are not in bondage to walk in the Spirit. You have the liberty and the freedom to do this. And because of that, there is no law to hinder the operation of the Holy Spirit. You have freedom now to operate and to walk in liberty in the Lord. And while we do this, why, there will be blessing, there will be harmony, there will be peace. The law is fulfilled in their loving of one another. And so, you and I share the same. The law of God is fulfilled in our life as we have love one to another, walking in Him. But some might ask the question, well, how in a practical term do I see this walking in the Spirit? What does it mean? What does it look like? Will I know as a Christian how I am supposed to walk in the Spirit? Because we're talking about spiritual things, aren't we? Yes, we are. However, they have very great practical implications to them. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. So the prophet Isaiah tells us, they that wait upon the Lord. Here's the first secret of walking in the Spirit. It must be by waiting upon God. Waiting upon God. You're not going to all of a sudden rush into God's presence. You're not going to be able to rush in this walk with a fellowship and communion of the Lord until first you've learned what it means to wait in prayer with Him and before His Word. Because the Lord has much to teach us all about ourselves and about Him and about what He wants. And so this waiting upon God, it comes before walking with Him. The one is contingent upon the other. Walking is something that must be learned. Everyone here doesn't really give a second thought to walking now as an adult until you maybe get a little bit older and you try to get up from your chair or get up from where you've been sitting for a while and the joints seem to seize up a little bit And then you really realize that walking is something not quite so easy. But from the standpoint of a newborn, they are not born walking. They have to be carried around everywhere they go until they learn to crawl and then walk. And then before long, they are running and skipping and jumping. But it all takes time. It all takes patient experience and working at it. And so we can see the illustration and the parallel for the Christian. It takes time. It takes practice to walk with God. It takes a working at walking in the Spirit of the Lord. And that once we become a seasoned veteran or a seasoned soldier in Christ, our walking with the Spirit will become natural to us. It will become like a second nature. And we will say, as the apostle did, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what we need to get to. That full realization that my walking in the Spirit, it's not by my own natural power. It's by waiting upon God, communing with Him, proving Him in prayer, and it becoming now a habit in our own daily walk. We will also walk with the Spirit by consciously setting the Lord in front of our minds. In the Old Testament, the Jews were commanded to keep the law between the frontlets of their eyes, their mind. And they took this in a practical way, and they actually put the law of God in very small leather pouches. And they would write it very small and put them in and seal it, and then they would tie it around their head so that right in the very front of their eyes would be this small leather pouch that had the law of God in it. And you know yourself, if you put anything in front of your eyes like this, you're conscious of it all the time. You can see it as you're walking. And that was the idea behind it. The law of God was to be always in front of them, always something they were conscious of. And so, friend, we must consciously set the Lord in the front of our mind. We must also walk circumspectly, to walk with great care, and to be certain where you are placing your steps in life. And not to be placing your steps down a pathway that you know is going to be harmful, or maybe allowing your feet to dabble in the swift current of lust. Don't go there. Don't do that. Because if you, first of all, step out in your foot up to your ankle, up to your knee, you will find soon that that current is too strong for you and it will sweep you away. No, friend. We must walk in the Lord, and it means to consciously set Him before us and to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. But then notice with me finally this morning and briefly, the blessings that flow from such communion. What is the first one? Well, I say this to you, it is peace in the heart of the Christian. There is peace even though the storm is raging. When all around you seems to be trouble and chaos, and all seems to be collapsing around you, yet when you are walking with the Spirit of God, there is great serenity. There is great peace in the heart of the child of God. The Lord is able, you know, to calm the storm. He is able to stand and say, peace, be still. But let's suppose the Lord does not calm the storm. He is still able to keep you walking in the midst of that storm. Because the closer you are to Christ, the closer you are to fellowship and to protection. Because that's the second one here. Not only is there peace as a blessing that flows from it, there is security. Yes, we are secure in Christ. That's a very basic doctrine, a fundamental one, that once a person is saved, we are kept by the Lord's power. We did not will ourselves into Christ, nor are we going to will ourselves out of Christ. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not going to be anyone in heaven that's going to be in heaven and say, "Why, I got to heaven because I was more intelligent than the guy next to me, and I chose Christ to the exclusion of the poor sapling next to me." No. It is by grace, friends, because we are dead in trespasses and in sins. And that deadness spiritually, we had to be breathed upon by the Lord. And that breath of heaven awakened us to our need. And the Lord graciously extended faith to us to believe in Him. And so once we are saved by His grace, we are brought into that security which is not our own. So we didn't bring ourselves into the Lord, and we're not saved. We don't keep ourselves in Christ. We could never do that. We are secure, though, in the Lord Jesus. We are safe in Him. And this walking in the Spirit, it provides for us even something more than that fundamental truth. There is the security and protection of keeping us from sin. That's the very heart of what the apostle is saying, that if you walk in the Spirit, you are not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That to me is very encouraging, because that gives me the protection, the security that I need, because I have no strength myself. But then there's going to be power to witness, power to speak for Christ. If you're walking in the Lord, you're not going to be afraid of those around you. You're going to be endeavoring to share, to shine, to speak for the Lord. And the Lord will give you the power and the strength to do that. And my, the blessings that flow from such communion, it is a precursor to heaven. It is just a foretaste of what our communion will be like with God in heaven when we are there with Him. And so, friend, in conclusion today, walking in the Spirit, it is a gracious command of God. It is a defense for us against sinning. And it is a storehouse of spiritual blessing day by day. And I pray that the more, the closer, the more intent we are in fulfilling this truth, God will strengthen you with might in the inner man, and we will fulfill the great calling that God has set for us to walk with Him. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our Father, today we pray that though we may be assaulted by many, many temptations, and the lust of the flesh may be that which is put against us, yet, Lord, we're thankful for there is victory in the Lord Jesus. There is victory in walking and communing with Thee moment by moment. Lord, where we find great weakness in this, where we have found defeat many times, we pray that there would be that desire, that strengthening of might in the inner self. Empower us, Lord, we pray. Help us in all these areas. Lord, I pray that if any in our meeting who are not converted, they're not saved today, may they come under conviction of sin. May they realize that they have offended a holy God and broken Thy law. And, O God, I pray they will find there is only peace and salvation in the Lord Jesus. Father, hear our prayers today. Part us now in Thy fear, and with Thy rich blessing, bring us back again to Thy house, rejoicing and looking forward to Thy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.